everybody, a lot of you wanna work with VaynerMedia. Good news, we're hiring. We're hiring creators, specifically right now, and we'll keep updating this promo throughout the year. Video and design capable individuals, people that have good ideas and would know what to do if we needed to sell watermelon or bubble gum or soap or wine or sneakers. We're looking for video and image creators. Think about the stuff I put out on Instagram, that kind of stuff. Are you scrappy? Are you hungry? GaryVee.com/creators with an S. Go fill out the form. Please join our team at VaynerX, because I think some of these people are gonna go into 137, some are gonna go to Vayner Talent, mainly for VaynerMedia, and maybe the occasional person for Team Gary V. If you wanna join the VaynerX family, please go check out, specifically right now for VaynerMedia, though we save the resumes and we move them around, to GaryVee.com/creators with an S.
This is the Gary V Audio Experience.
Hey podcast, Joe from Team Gary here. Today's episode is another edition of Monday Marketing Tapes, a new weekly series where we feature a special assortment of essential marketing tips, key insights, and interviews with some of the key players from around the world in marketing. Today's episode is a conversation that Gary had with Damon John. Enjoy.
To self-made millionaire with over $6 billion to date in global product sales and a starring role on ABC's newest business reality TV show, Shark Tank, Damon John is the personification of the American dream. He sets standards of excellence while expanding his interests in fashion, branding, marketing, consulting, entertainment, and beyond. This industry leader, best-selling author, and groundbreaking entrepreneurial expert has evolved into a highly sought-after business and motivational speaker. Welcome, Damon.
What's up, Shane? What's up, Gary? What's up, everybody?
What's good, Damon? It's really great to see you.
Staying healthy?
Staying healthy, trying. Up five, but not atrocious for COVID. I'm trying to keep it together. How are you?
Yeah, all good, good. I'm up a couple of more than that. You know, my belly's going to be sitting over the table on Shark Tank. It's all good, you know?
Talk to me what's on your mind. Give us a little 5 minutes on that, and then we'll get into a question or two.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what topic you want to go on. You want to go on to COVID? You want to go on to Black Lives Matter?
Whatever, honestly. Free for all. Entrepreneurship, wherever you want to go.
You know, I think Jackson said a lot of really strong and powerful things, you know, and I want to make sure that I think the Black Lives have been around quite some time, but it's also going to find ways to be squashed as well. You know, a couple of things are going to be pulled down, maybe Antimama will be changed and stuff like that, but if we don't create change from the ground level and, you know, it's funny, Robert Smith made a comment in a Forbes article. He said there's 4,700 banks out there. I think black banks are only 21 of them. And the 4,700 banks of America, they control $20 billion in assets. And the African-American-owned banks only control $5 billion in assets. That's where the challenge becomes, because systematically, if you have mass incarceration, no two felons are alike, right? And so if you go into a job to fill out an application, you have to write the mark the word felon, but you got 5 years in jail for $600 worth of weed, then you're not going to get that job. You're not going to get that loan, right? Then you're going to have to go back to the streets. So as we talk about all this stuff, and we're talking about whether the 15% pledge or whether we're going after corporations, and I think, you know, I was on a call with extremely powerful people yesterday. The change has to happen for everybody. The change has to happen, especially for African Americans, in the school process, meaning that we need to be teaching entrepreneurship like we teach science and like we teach shop class to kids who are 8 and 9 and 10 years old, so that when they get to the level of being 18, they can decide if they want to take out a $250,000 school loan, which that's not what I think is necessary, of course, if you're going to go and be a doctor and things of that nature. And then we have to also talk internally about how can we have people on the board, but people who are also highlighting other people and executives who they can mentor of color, of LGBT, who are females as well, to train them to come up in the system. You know, when this whole thing happened, I had to actually get on a call with my staff. And, you know, I had to have a hard conversation with them. And I said, well, I don't think my staff are racist because they work for a black man. And but even though we had to have a conversation internally, you know what happened? When there was a woman sitting next to another woman, a white woman and a woman of color, she said, I never realized that when your son turns 16 years old, you're going to fear if your son is even going to come home today after they start driving the car. She was like, I never knew you were going through that pain. So internally after that, they all started to have conversations because internally you have to know what's going on in the world. And what we're finding is, I'm talking to the major corporations, one of my guys has 2,000 people work for him. He said, I'm worried about the white kids of the company because they're so upset because they're 18 and 19 and 20 years old. They're so upset seeing what's happening to the people they respect or like or their colleagues that they want to burn the whole place down. And he said, I talked to the, you know, African-Americans. They're kind of like, oh, you know, we've been going through this for years. You know, thank you for catching up. But they're not as, like, mad about it because we've been through this. And what comes out of that? It's a beautiful thing. It's showing that, you know, listen, nothing in our country has ever been defeated or any place, apartheid, civil rights, the Civil War. Nothing has been defeated without people of all colors coming together and joining forces. And we're seeing that in the streets these days. And that's something that's amazing, but we got to stay hard on it and make fundamental change. I mean, look what happened. You know, we went into World War II and men went away and the women didn't have to stay home and watch the kids. They started going back and they started to work in factories. The men started coming home and talking shit. The women were like, go fuck yourself, right? The men started getting mad. And then we had to have a women's movement in 1965, then another movement in 1970s. And then it takes 60 years after that to have a Weinstein go and create a issue where we had to be able to legally say a woman needs her day, a woman needs to be able to be a CEO, mandatory to be on the board. We got to start doing those things now, and we can't make it like, we can't wait another 60 years. So how are we going to stay on top of those things now? And, you know, I know that you're a history buff and stuff like that. You know, people may have said, look at the Martin Luther King days and how we tried to change there. You know, and I've seen a lot of white people say that to me. And I go, do you realize that it wasn't a Martin Luther King thing over there? It was two superpowers. It was Russia and it was America. And that's right. And most of the world is brown. So what Russia was doing was going out to all the brown countries in Africa and everything. Look how bad America treats their black people. Do you want to be on that side? And that is the main reason why a lot of these things were acknowledged. And we cannot let that happen now. We can't just pull down a couple of statues and talk about poor Aunt Jemima when her great-grandson is like, yo, by the way, Aunt Jemima was my great-grandmother who hustled her product all around and got turned down by all these people. And now you're taking her legacy away just because you think that's... You see what I'm saying? So,
of course I see what you're saying. By the way, back to your earlier point, everybody who's so upset, the youth, what are the actions? Yeah. You know, using a hashtag or putting a black post in your Instagram, is that the action? Is it voting? Is it doing, like, what are the actions? Anyway, Shane, I want to get a couple more things in before I'll
hear you. What are actionable items we can take, the every man can take? People always ask, how can we help? What's your advice?
Well, first of all, just like every entrepreneur and entrepreneur, the reason why entrepreneurs are successful is they see a problem they feel that nobody was solving. And what they do, and they say that I'm going to solve this problem. And what do? They identify the problem, then they do their homework on how they can attack it, and then they go and they take affordable steps and grab their resources around them to then slowly start attacking it. This is not going to be changed in 2 days or in 1 year. So what are your actual steps? I'm going to post something on one of my sites or something like that to give you actual stuff. But you can report into your local police station that they must wear body cams. A lot of them don't wear body cams. They were taking off body cams because the well-to-do in the area didn't like to go into court in a three-piece suit. And then a body cam shows them that they were drunk driving. They were stumbling all over the place. So that's why they generally took off body cams, because of the influential people. But now you can enforce that. You can also talk about mass incarceration and try not to support companies that do support private sector jails, meaning, unfortunately, a lot of people are going to get upset, but Amazon does that. You can also educate yourself and go and look at Netflix 13 and various other things to understand why and what systematic racism is, so that you can see it when you are, and you can address it. You can write your congressman, you can do so many other things. And just so you know, what is mass incarceration? What's the advantage of that? You're the taxpayer, you're paying for it. Also, people are now incarcerated and they're getting paid 18 cents an hour to work on products and to manufacture. That is modern day slavery. And we incarcerate more African Americans, more Black people, we incarcerate more than the entire world globally. Bye. So you need to understand the problem and not just go, oh, nah, there's just those people acting like that. Oh, you know, whatever. And, you know, like that's the famous meme out there. Racism never always existed. Now it's just being filmed, of course. So you just got to educate yourself and make small changes. Small, and keep getting small to try. I even realized 80 or 85% of my staff started as interns. I realized I was pulling only from certain schools. It wasn't that I was looking for white kids, because I have a very, very, very diverse staff. I mean, everybody's in my staff, and diverse from gender to age to religion, whatever the case is. But I decided that I need to offer internships to other schools that's not as convenient for me. They're not necessarily in the city and things of that nature. And yep. If you start to understand that and wrap your head around it, it's great. And I'm going to leave one final point and then we'll open it up. But when I did that conversation with my staff, a guy who works for me, who happened to be Jewish, said, you know what? And he's definitely not racist. I mean, he hangs out with, I mean, he Black members of his family. He said, I never thought about this. I can change my last name. I cannot have the long sideburns. I cannot wear my yarmulke. And I can hide in plain sight. I never realized that you can't hide in plain sight as a person of color. You are who you are. And it's what it is.
That's literally the main conversation my dad and I have had. You know, my dad grew up in anti-Semitic Soviet Russia. Both my grandfathers spent a decade in jail, but one decade in jail, one a couple years in jail for being Jewish, straight up. But when we were talking a lot during this time, obviously, and this is why these are important times, you know, it's just, you know, just even him remembering that some of his friends didn't look as Jewish and how their life was different, gets to the point of like skin color and how it is different.
Yeah.
It is what it is. Let's, while we got 2 last minutes, talk to me about something that you're seeing in the business world. And COVID, just to take it a little, while we got you, one of the best entrepreneurs, we got to take advantage of. What are you seeing post-COVID? Some of the opportunities people should be looking for.
So many opportunities. I'm seeing that people no longer have to fly around and kiss a bunch of ass for a month to go and see all their potential, investors. They're catching them all in 3 days, you know, right there on Zoom calls. I'm seeing that people who only 5 months ago thought that their product was inferior or nobody saw the vision, and this is the opportune time. I'm also seeing a lot of businesses going to be crumbling, and that's it. They're just not going to come back. Now, you can either reset the business and start over a little more wisely, reduce your square footage in your store, break your lease, and have those conversations. But I'm seeing a massive amount of transfer of wealth. And I'm also seeing that the guy, and nothing wrong with being a pizza delivery guy, but when my pizza delivery guy is telling me on hot new stocks, I'm making sure that I am not cash heavy, you know, because it was 2 years ago how we all heard about cryptocurrency. Everybody started telling you that. I'm getting a lot of stock tips by people who should not be telling me about stocks. Not that I'm a genius, so I am staying cash heavy, because this is going to go right back. And everybody on here probably knows people who are telling them, oh, you know, this slide, way, you know, oh, you've been in Madero.
And by the way, when Damon says cash heavy, Damon's worked his face off for decades to get to a place where, you know, his cash is a little different, but on some real practical shit, that means sitting on $800 instead of buying something with it, like actually saving money.
Save money.
Having $300 in your bank instead of being negative $1.30 on your credit card is a nice move. And so I think a lot of times when we have the luxury of having access to somebody like Damon in this scenario, what we do is say, well, we don't have that kind of like, oh, easy for you, Damon. No, it wasn't easy for Damon. The way Damon became Damon is because he did it when it wasn't easy. And saving $50 and $100 really, 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 really matters.
I started FUBU with $80, and it was $80 that I saved up. And it took me a month to save up that $80.
That's a great way to end. Shane, you were an unbelievable, you know, I already knew what kind of all-time teammate you were, so I knew how this was going to go. I really appreciate you. Andrea, I'm sure you're going to jump in here maybe and wrap us up. But Shane, I just wanted to thank you from the bottom of my heart. And Damon, thank you for being on. All right, episode's over. Please leave a review and subscribe up on Apple. It would mean a lot to me. Thank you very much.
Hey, podcast. Today's highlighted review is awesome by Guy Who Plays Fortnite. Love your motivation. Gary always gives you the tips that you need to succeed. Thanks, Gary. Keep those reviews coming. We could highlight yours next.